Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Beitza, daf Lamed Hey. 35th daf of the Masechta. We're approaching the end of the Masechta. Today, God willing, we'll finish the fourth parak of the Masechta, and tomorrow we will begin the fifth parak. Okay, yesterday, we made our way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. We're going to start today from the Mishnah. I know I read the Mishnah yesterday, but I'm going to read it again today. And one Mishnah, one more sugya to go to cover to the end of the parak. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The daf will be learned. Zeichu Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. And we begin. The Mishnah began. You remember? Turn back to Lamed Amud Aleph, and we're starting from the last two lines with the Mishnah. Oh, my Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer also said the following. This is a Hemshech of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah had a halacha by Rabbi Eliezer in terms of where I can get wood for use on Yantif, meaning where can I go? Does it have to be directly in front of me? Can it be anywhere in the chatzer? And can I use wood for anything other than for fuel for the fire? So that was the previous Mishnah. That was the discussion. As we already pointed out, a lot of our fourth parak in Masech Tebeitza had to do with fire and wood. So that was the previous discussion. Now the Gemara is going to turn to a different discussion, but it's a statement made by Rabbi Eliezer, and hence the opening of the Mishnah is Va'oda my Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer also says, I pointed this out yesterday, but just to reiterate, Rashi is really troubled because there is no way, says Rashi, that we have the Lashon of our Mishnah, Va'oda my Rabbi Eliezer, and meanwhile, the previous Mishnah, or the construct of the previous Mishnah, was first Rabbi Eliezer, then the Chachamim. You look back on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, that's the way the Mishnah presents itself. And so, usually, Rashi points out, when you have this Lashon of Ve'od Amar, and he also says, it has to be that we were just in the previous Mishnah dealing with Rabbi Eliezer being quoted last, and then Ve'od Amar Rabbi Eliezer. This question bothered Rashi so much that Rashi says, the only thing I can tell you is that the gears of the Mishnah must be out of order. Meaning that whoever put the Mishnahs together must have mixed around the order of the previous Mishnah, so that nothing. He's not changing anything. He's just simply saying that first should be the Chachamim, then should be Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's Rashi back in the Mishnah. Good. Va'odam a Rabbi Eliezer, omen adam la moksa. But here now becomes the topic of this next Mishnah, and really it's going to be the course of discussion over the balance of today. And that is the following. Moksa, now we already have the term moksa used. The Mishnah over here uses the term moksa in a very ambiguous fashion. Rashi over here points out in the Mishnah, the term moksa over here means fruit that I actually want to dry. Meaning they're figs, they're grapes, and I right now don't want the figs and I don't want the grapes in their fresh state, but I want them to dry out. I want the figs to be dried figs and I want the grapes to turn into raisins. And so I go out of my way to put them on my rooftop so that the sun can beat down on them and that they're going to dry. Under these circumstances now, basically what I've done is I've created moksa. Meaning in my mind, I basically said to myself, I don't want it right now. And only when it finishes the drying process, then and only then do I want them. This is what our Mishnah is dealing with when the Mishnah describes moksa. You'll take a look at Rashi, the last line of Rashi on Lamed Aleph, and Rashi writes, Hatzarech hazmana v'hazmana ma'olos lo kegon achse v'lo achse damar bein tzadin. So, Rashi reminds us of what we learned earlier in the Masechta, just a week ago in the daf. And that is that if the fruit are totally inedible, then what are we talking about? Meaning you could think all you want, like I'm looking for it, but if they're not inedible, meaning going from the state of a grape to a raisin, so the fruit is not really that enjoyable. In other words, the fruit is enjoyable at the point of grape, the fruit is enjoyable at the point of raisin. But in between, while it is drying, it's really not that edible. So if it's totally inedible, the Gemara earlier pointed out, then you could say whatever you want. It's moksa. Right. That's not. Rashi points out over here. We have to be somewhere in that. Somewhere in that state where some people would eat it and some people are not going to eat it. And under these circumstances, you can go up to your rooftop and say, "Look, Shabbos is coming, and you're right. I would like to serve my guests those raisins. I know they're just becoming raisins, but I'm going to go out of my way to be mazmin, even though I put it up on the rooftop in order to dry. Going into Shabbos, I'm mazmin." I go up there and I designate those raisins, almost raisins, to be used for Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah is dealing with. That's the case of the Mishnah. What's the issue? So let's read on in the Mishnah. Erev Shabbos B'Shvi. So he goes up there on Erev Shabbos, and it's a Shemitah year. Why is the Mishnah here dealing with the Shemitah year? Because basically, we want Trumas or Maestros not to be consideration at all. So during the Shemitah year, no halachas or trumas and maestros. No obligation to take off trumas and maestros. You can see Rashi gives a drasha. Okay, but in other words, but the halacha is no trumas and maestros during the Shemitah year. So now when I've taken that out of the entire equation, so there's only one issue in the Mishnah, and that is Moksa. Actually, I take it back. There are two issues in the Mishnah. I'll get to the second issue in just a moment. So, Erev Shabbos B'Shvi, so it's during the Shemitah year. V'omer, and here's what you say. Mikan ani ochel l'machar. I'm going to eat from some of these grapes, or I should say better, raisins, tomorrow. And that's it. And that's all he needs to do. And Rabbi Eliezer says he's good to go. V'chachamim omrim ha'chir shom v'yomrim mikan v'adkan. And the Chachamim so and says no. He needs to be made. He needs to make a reshima. He actually needs to make a sign somewhere on the in the ground. I'm not sure exactly what the Mishnah is describing over here, marking the area. But he needs to make a reshima, an actual sign on the ground, and he has to say, "I'm going to eat from here to here." Okay, so there are actually two issues going on in the Mishnah. Issue number one is, how do I remove the status of muksa before Shabbos? So Rabbi Eliezer says a verbal designation is all you need. And the Chachamim say no. It needs to be more than a verbal designation. You need to make a sign, draw a line in the ground saying, I'm going to eat from here to here. A verbal designation is not enough. That is one issue going on in the Mishnah. And the other issue that's going on in the Mishnah is Breira, as Rashi points out. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, what do you need to do? Just simply say, you know, I'm going to eat some of those raisins tomorrow. And when you go up to the rooftop on Shabbos tomorrow, you'll decide which raisins you want. And when you actually pick up the raisins, we're going to say, because remember, muksa is all determined at the point of Bein HaShemashos. So what we're going to have to say, as you're picking it up on Shabbos, is not only am I making this decision now, but the decision goes retroactively back to the Bein HaShemashos period. And therefore, what I'm picking up now, Limafreya, is what I wanted from the Bein HaShemashos period. Good. Rabbi Lezer holds of Breira, and the Chachamim do not hold of Breira. Because the Chachamim say that you can't just simply say, whatever I pick up tomorrow. The Chachamim say, Mikan v'adkan. From here to here, you have to be very specific about which raisins you want to eat, and you have to make a reshima. So on two issues, the Chachamim are machmir over Rabbi Eliezer. On issue number one, how do you remove something from the status of muksa? Rabbi Eliezer says verbal designation. Chachamim say an actual reshima, a physical sign. Two, do we subscribe to Breira? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and the Chachamim say no. Good. Another point we're just going to reiterate quickly from yesterday. An important point, which is Tosfos. Tosfos says, this position here, Rabbi Eliezer, seems to run contrary to Rabbi Eliezer and his Rebbe Beit Shammai. Because Beit Shammai, go back to the beginning of the Masech, do you remember? I have birds going into Yantiv, and I want to point to which birds that I want. Beit Shammai says, no, pointing is not enough. Beit Shammai says, shake the bird. Take your fist on the bird and shake it. And give it a good rattle. And then, and only then, does the bird, not in a muksa state, but the bird now becomes mukhan. So when it comes to the birds, you need an actual physical manipulation of the bird. Here, Rabbi Eliezer, who Tosfos assumes, very interesting assumption, Tosfos assumes Rabbi Eliezer is a student of Beit Shammai. Whatever Beit Shammai says, well, Rabbi Eliezer has to agree. So assuming that they're in the same school of thought, so then we have an issue, because over here, Rabbi Eliezer only needs you to make a verbal declaration. That's going to be enough. And Tosos is Mechadish, and this is not the first time Tosos says this in the Masechta. To my memory, Tosos said this one time earlier, and I don't know Tosos him inside out. Could be that he said it more than this, but he says that there are levels of muksa. And he writes, look, you can see this in the top Tosfos on the Amud. He says, "V'yesh lomer de lo kasha de lo mechafe shitasayo de muksa de balei chayim adif umachmir and tfei." The muksa of live animals, says Tosfos, is a stronger muksa. Okay, and so therefore, when it comes to live birds, you need a physical manipulation. When it comes to just fruit on the rooftop, a verbal designation is enough. That is Tosfos' response to the issue. Okay, so far so good. Okay, good. At this point in time now, we're about to start the Gemara, but before we start the Gemara, so please allow me to give an introduction. Okay, this introduction will be extremely helpful because really for the balance of today, from now until the end of the daf today, and the end of the parak, and hopefully we'll get to the end of the parak today, it's our game plan, we're going to be discussing a lot of Trumas and Maestros. So, and we're going to be discussing today one specific halacha, and that's the halacha of koveya. Now, if you're not totally familiar with what we're talking about right now, that's fine. We don't do chumas and maisos in the Daf Yomi. We are, you know, we do it peripherally. In other words, when we have a mishnah that quotes the mishnah from chumas and maisos, so we kind of maneuver our way around it, but we never address it straight on. So it's very possible that we're not familiar with what it means to be a koveya. So let's do the following. I brought the Rambam in here today. So I'm going to read a little bit of the Rambam today just by way of introduction so that we understand what exactly is about to happen in the Gemara, in the ensuing discussion. Over the course of the Gemara today, we're going to be learning a lot of Mishnayos from Trumos and Maestros, actually more from Maestros. We're going to be learning a lot of Mishnayos, but it's good just to understand the basic concept, and then we're going to go back to the Gemara at hand. The Rambam, I'm in the Halachos of Maestro and the Rambam. I'm in the third parak, the beginning of the third parak. A per shegil onas hamasros. So let's say you have fruit that gets to onas hamasros, meaning it's ripe. Vinidlushu, and I plucked them off. So in other words, so here I am now out in the field. So my grapes look great, and I plucked them off. Adain lo nigmar malachtan, but we haven't reached the point of gemar malacha. Meaning, so the fruits are totally edible, but they are not at the end of the processing. What does that mean? End of the processing could go, and the Rambam explains. Let's say the Rambam uses grain as an example. I cut the grain, I threshed the grain, but I didn't winnow it, or I didn't smooth off the top. So here's what you're allowed to do. You're allowed to snack off this off the wheat. So even though you haven't taken off shumas amaisos, now remember, tevel. If you eat tevel, untithed produce, that's misa bidei shemayim. That's a serious offense. Yesterday's parsha. So in other words, chumas and maizos must be taken off before you can eat the produce. However, at this process yet, before the gemar malacha, there's no obligation of chumas and maizos as of yet. So what you can do is you can just simply go over to the produce and have a little snack. Until you reach the point of gemar malacha. And once you get to the point of gemar malacha, that's it. Now it's tevel, and now you can no longer even snack from it. And this is only if you actually intend on selling it. But if you're going to just take it home, all you're going to do is just take it home, so you can actually continue snacking from it until it's koveya lamaiser. Ad sheyikvu lamaiser. So in other words, what we're learning from the Rambam very clearly is that produce, as it's coming off the field, as it's coming into your house, you can actually continue snacking on it, meaning it is not subject to the obligation of trumas and maisos. It doesn't have the status of tevel until it reaches the point of kvias. And there needs to be a koveya. Now you'll say, okay, what will be a koveya? So the Rambam then writes, next halacha, ve'echad mishisha dvarim koveya lamaisos. So six things are going to be considered a koveya.
Koveya
is not a completion. Koveya means an establishment. It's basically now going to be an establishment where I'm now deemed it to be significant. I now basically said, okay, now I'm ready to eat it. You'll see. There are going to be six of them. I'm now ready to eat it. And at this point in time, now it's going to be obligated in Trumos and Maisos. What are the six koveas? So the Rambam writes, The Eluhain. And these are the six koveas. Number one, Habayas, bringing it into your house. So you take produce that you bring into your house. That's a koveya. Number two, Mekach, making an actual sale of the produce. Anytime that you exchange the produce with money, or possibly even barter with something else, that's also considered a koveya. And at that point in time, now you have to stop snacking. Number three, Ha'esh, cooking it. Cooking it now is a significant act, where once you cook it, that's also going to be a koveya, and you no longer can snack on it. Number four, Melach, salting it. Salting it is now considered a significant act, where at this point in time, now you can't eat it unless you take off chumas and maizos. Number five, truma. What does that mean? Truma means that even though I finished it, but I didn't bring it into my house, but I took off truma, truma now means that the rest of it is kavua. I can't snack from it until I take off maizros. And finally, number six, Shabbos. Shabbos is a koveya. Shabbos is a koveya. That means that if I say to the, I want this fruit to be eaten on Shabbos, Shabbos is a significant day. Anything we do, any eating we do on Shabbos is significant, and Shabbos is going to be a koveya as well. So once I designate the fruit for Shabbos, that means now that I can't snack from it anymore until I take off trumas and maizros.
Does yom tov fall in the same category?
That's an excellent question. I saw, I forgot where, maybe Rabbi Kornfeld, I saw that that's a discussion, and it's not clear.
It's not what?
It's not clear. That matter is not clear. You'll see, over the course of today's daf, and the Rambam says it very clearly, Shabbos we know. But Yom Tov is not clear.
Can you theoretically snack the whole thing? Can you theoretically snack the whole
thing? Yeah, in other words, you can continue snacking and snacking. Correct. In other words, because again, it follows basic guidelines and principles, and it's not chayv and shumas and maizos until we reach the point of koveya.
Yes.
And six different things will be a koveya. We went through the Rambam, we saw all six. Okay, I say this all by way of introduction. Now you will see, the Rambam actually was exceedingly clear. I want to go back and just reiterate one point that the Rambam makes, and that is as follows. You can continue stacking. I'm going back to the first halacha. All right, until you reach the point of gemar malachtan. Right, and then when you hit the point of gemar malachtan, so then you can't snack. But then the Rambam says, but that's only that's only if you want to sell it. But if you're planning on bringing it home, meaning the Rambam says that if you are not planning on selling it, but all you're doing is just planning on taking it into your house, you didn't actually bring it in yet, then you can still keep snacking on it. Even after the Gemar Malacha, you finish the processing, but you can still keep snacking. Snacking is an indication that it is not yet obligated in Trumas and Maestros. You can still keep snacking until you reach the point of one of the six Koveyas. Okay. Which is basically saying, I want to emphasize this point, because you're going to see this is going to be a big issue in today's daf. I'm going to keep emphasizing the point that even after the Gemar Malacha, you could still snack on the produce until you reach a Kaveya, a point of Kaveya.
Once that Gemar Malacha, if it passes your house threshold, then that's it.
Well, your house is a Kaveya. Your house is one of the six Kaveyas.
Isn't it a combination of both?
No.
Crossing the threshold of your house and Gemar Malacha?
Right. In other words, correct. In other words, crossing your house, but it hasn't reached Gemar Malacha. Yeah, I agree. I take it back. I agree with you. I agree.
But the thing is, if it's got Gemar Malacha and you reach the house threshold, then you cannot snack from it.
But the way to view it, though, the way the Rambam is telling us to view it, is that bringing it into your house is no different than any one of the other Kaveyas, which means that even if I didn't bring it into my house, but Shabbos is a Kaveya. Shabbos now tells me that I can't eat it. Cooking is a koveya, even if I didn't bring it into my house. Your house is just but one of the six koveyas.
But you need a combination of two.
Right. In other words, the only way the koveya triggers is only if you reach the point of Gemar Malacha. If it hasn't reached the point of Gemar Malacha, the koveya doesn't trigger it off. So you're right. You need Gemar Malacha. That point, I'm right. Hopefully that's clear. You need a Gemar Malacha, and then you need any one of the six koveyas. Your house being one of the six koveyas. Okay, that's the Rambam. Good. Now, mind you, again, I made this point clear, and this is going to be a sticking point throughout the rest of today's daf, and that is the Rambam is writing l'halacha l'maisa. It's practical halacha, which is that koveya only kicks in only after the point of Gemar Malacha. A lot of today's Gemara's discussion is going to be revolving around shitos amongst Tanayim, who are of the opinion that a koveya works even before the Gemar Malacha, but that we'll see later on. Okay, Tanan Hasam. With all that in mind, as I say, it was a lengthy introduction, but hopefully worth it, because it really will help us understand a lot of what's going to happen over the course of today. Tanan Hasam, we learned on the Mishnah. We are learning a Mishnah together. This is the fourth parak of Masros. Most of the Mishnahs we're going to be seeing over the course of today is going to be in Masechta Masros. So Tinokish Shetimnu Te'enim Erev Shabbos V'Shichu V'Lo Isru. So L'Motzei Shabbos Ol Yochlo Ela Imkein Isru. I have a child. And the child is is out in the field and he stores some figs. Look at the first Rashi in the Gemara. Besada begina la'achilas Shabbos. And he says he's storing things for Shabbos. I mean, this fruit looks delicious for Shabbos, and he puts things away for Shabbos. Rashi continues, "Vishichu v'lo isru," and he forgot to take off ma'isos. Lo yochlu, so you can't eat them. Now Rashi, Rashi's going to address why we're dealing with the child. The afa gav de kaimelan in etav mitzchayv ma'isol lo yochlu achilas ra'ay achira paneah ba'isol paneah chavser be'bab mitzia ba'socher zapo'alem. Now he didn't take it into your house, and so Rashi over here acknowledges the fact that, hey, you didn't take it into your house, and therefore, why should there be an obligation to Shomasa Maestros? Achila Shabbos Chashuva. Here we go. So Rashi points out, but again, with the introduction, like you're going to see, like a lot of this is going to like, oh yeah, I get it. Right? Shabbos is a Koveya. I mean, Rashi doesn't use that language, but it's exactly the point. Meaning, even though you didn't bring it into your house, but you have another Koveya to take into consideration, that Shabbos. V'arai Shalah Harehu Keva. And even a snack on Shabbos is considered a keva. And so since it was set aside, designated for Shabbos, so at that point in time, now that's a koveya, which means that I can't even snack from the fruit anymore until I take off Shomas and Maestros. And oh, by the way, on Shabbos itself, I can't take off Shomas and Maestros. So you're really stuck.
What happens to Motzei Shabbat?
Hold that question. We'll come back. And then Rashi addresses, oh yeah, why mention a cotton? That really is a tangential point. Rashi says, true, but it's a chiddush, because even a cotton can have machshava vis-a-vis this halach of koveya. Rashi reminds us what we learned back in Chul in the first perek, in other words, that a child himself with a maisa can have a machshava. He can reflect a machshava with a maisa. V'teinim davish enigmar malachzan hu alem kin chishiv aleim lekitzios o legrogros. V'shamina mina b'davish enigmar malachzan. And Rashi says, and what do we learn out from this Mishnah? Meaning this Mishnah maestros, that when something is completed, its processing has been finished, Shabbos kovas lemaiser. Shabbos is a koveya below re'ias p'nei abayis. And it doesn't have to enter your house. Okay. And what if it's not finished? What if it's not completed? That we don't know. But if it's a fruit, if it's a produce that's been completed, it has arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha, Shabbos is a koveya. Your house is a koveya, but so is Shabbos. So even if it didn't enter your house, Shabbos is a koveya. Adkan, that's what we're learning together from this Mishnah in Masros.
The amount, is it a certain amount?
I don't know.
He's hiding 5-6 figs.
I don't know. Presumably, the amount doesn't matter. I'm not sure. Okay. Vitananami. And the Gemara says, let's learn another Mishnah together. A third parak of Masros. Amavitanim b'chatzer olakatzos. Banav u'bnei v'aso ochel mehem arai. U'peturim. You go around your house and you pick up... I'm sorry. Let me do that again. You are in your chatzer. And the Te'enim are going through your chatzar. But Lekatzos, Rashi says, Li Yafshan, Lasos Mem Kitzios. Right? You are looking to dry them out. You want to make a press, a fig press amongst them. And then, the Banu B'nei Beis Ochlam Emarai Upiturim. So you can have a little snack from them, and they're going to be exempt from Chumas Amaisros. Okay. So again,
huh?
Yeah.
What about him?
Okay. I know. I don't know why the lashon of banav b'nei beisa. Okay, it's a good horror. Okay, so fine. Good. And here, what do we see from this Mishnah? What we're seeing from this Mishnah now: your house is a koveya. By extension, your chatzer is a koveya as well. But here, the fruit in question have not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha. They're not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha because I want to take these figs, I want to dry them out. So in other words, there's more processing. It has not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha. Your chatzar is not going to be koveya. Your house is not going to be koveya until it arrives at the point of Gemar Malacha. So far, so good. So there really are two points that we're learning right now. Number one, Shabbos is a koveya. Good. Number two, if the produce is not finished, if it has not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha, then your house and your courtyard is not going to be koveya. So far, so good. By mine Rava me Rav Nachman. Shabbos Moshe Tikva Muksa Lamaiser B'davar Shalom Nigmar Malachto. Okay, I have the following question. I know Shabbos is a koveya. Is Shabbos a super koveya? Okay, out of context, you would never understand what that means. Yeah, in the context of the daf, it makes a little bit of sense. But outside, Shabbos being a super koveya, what does that mean? Meaning, can Shabbos now not only make the food significant and make it now chayv and shumas and maestros, and Shabbos being a koveya, but even if the fruit has not arrived at the point of gemar malacha, can Shabbos make that food so significant that it'll be chayv and shumas and maestros, even if it's not at the point of finished production? That is the Gemara's question. Mi amrin and kevin dechsiv karas la Shabbos oneg kava, meaning Shabbos is so significant. The Pasuk in Navi says, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, that anything I eat on Shabbos is oneg. Right? It basically, Shabbos transforms. It's no longer a date, it's a Shabbos date. It's no longer a fig, it's a Shabbos fig. It's transformative.
There's no
achilas arai on Shabbos. So kava v'afil b'davar shel nigmar malacha. And then maybe Shabbos is going to be koveya, even for food that has not yet finished its production. Odilma b'davar shel nigmar malacha kava, b'davar shel nigmar malacha lo kava. Or maybe no. Maybe Shabbos is a koveya, but no better than your chatzir, no better than your house. Your house and chatzir are going to be koveya, but only for produce that has gone through gemar malacha, as we just learned in that Mishnah Maestros. Maybe Shabbos is no different. Shabbos is just another koveya, just like your house and chatzir is. So Amalei Shabbos koveya bein b'davar shel nigmar malacha, bein b'davar shel nigmar malacha. So that was the question that was posed. Answer: Shabbos is a stronger koveya. Stronger, so Shabbos is a stronger koveya than your chatzar. Amalei ve'ema Shabbos do mida chatzar. So the response, it's a funny give and take. Well, how do you know? Meaning the response is, maybe Shabbos, just like your chatzar. Ma chatzar in a kovas ela b'davar shel nigmar malachto. Av Shabbos lo tikava ela b'davar shel nigmar malachto. Meaning Shabbos is a koveya and your chatzar is a koveya. Just like your chatzar is only going to be koveya for produce that is finished, production. So maybe we'll say the same thing by Shabbos. Okay. I know the give and take over here doesn't seem to be like, there's no svara. The Gemara is just simply saying, maybe they're the same? No, they're different. Well, maybe they're the same. Okay. So, Amar Lei, Limud Aruchu Biadenu, Shah Shabbos Kovas, Bein Bedavish Enigmar Malachto, Bein Bedavish Lenigmar Malachto. And then the last response is, no, we know. Shabbos is more of a koveya. Shabbos is going to be considered a koveya for produce that both is finished and even unfinished produce. Okay, so admittedly, from my perspective, which is a very limited one, I don't really get the whole give and take here in the Gemara. They're just bouncing back and forth. Shabbos is a koveya. No, Shabbos is a better koveya. No, it's not. No, Shabbos is a better koveya. Okay, so admittedly, there's no svar in the Gemara over here, but okay, well, you understand what the issue is. No, correct. Meaning we have a strong tradition. Meaning this is what's been saying for a long time, that Shabbos is more of a koveya. What the Gemara now is entertaining is this idea that any fruit that has not been taken, trumas and maestros, has not been taken off, even if it's not finished in its production, you cannot eat it on Shabbos unless you have taken off trumas and maestros. And then when you get to actual Shabbos itself, now you're stuck. Because now you need to take off trumas and maestros on Shabbos, you can't. It's rabbinically forbidden. Okay, admittedly, it means before Shabbos you have to think. I mean, I understand. We live here in Chusarts. We don't think. But going into Shabbos, you have to think. Oh, fruit? Which fruit do I have available for Shabbos? And now you have to take off Shemas and Maestros and everything. Okay? So, Amar Marzucha Breid de Rav Nachman, Af Anan Nami Tanina. And now the Gemara is going to bring a proof that Shabbos is a Koveya, and again, it's a super Koveya. Meaning it'll be a Koveya not only for fruit that experienced Gemar Malacha, but even for produce that has not gone through Gemar Malacha. How do I know that? Our Mishnah. Our Mishnah here, the last Mishnah, the fourth paragraph of Beitza, speaks to this. What does the Mishnah say? V'oramar Rabbi Eliezer, Omid Adam Ala Moksa, Erev Shabbos B'Shiyas. So here's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah now has a person going up to his rooftop, and there are fruit drying on his rooftop. And it's a Shemitah year, which means no Trumas and Maestros. Take that out of the whole discussion. I don't want that to be a factor. And what you can do is basically say, hey, I'm gonna eat this fruit over the course of Shabbos. Right now it's in a state of moksa because I'm drying it. And what you do is you go up to the rooftop and you want to remove it from the status of moksa. So you go up and say, I'm going to eat this, this, and this, and this. And remember, according to Rabbi Lezer, you don't even have to do that. You just simply go up and you say, I'm going to eat some of them tomorrow. And that removes the status of moksa. And now the Gemara makes a very simple diuk in the Mishnah. Taima d'shvi is talav bar yisurihu. Our Mishnah clearly is going out of its way to remove trumas and maisos as a factor, as a consideration. Now, but what if it wasn't the Shemitah year? What if it was any of the other six years where Trumas and Maisos becomes a consideration? Habishar Shnei Shavua, Hachinami Da'aser. Clearly, if it were not a Shemitah year, if it be any of the 6 years, you would have a problem. In other words, simply by you saying, hey, I'm going to eat that, you won't be able to eat it. Question, really simple one. Why not? Why won't you be able to eat it? So the Gemara arrives at what seems to be a very simple conclusion. My time, alav mishum de Shabbos kava. Oh, I get it. The reason why you can't eat is because Shabbos is a koveya. And remember, this is important. We're talking about fruit that's drying. It hasn't finished yet. So in other words, we're discussing fruit that has not arrived at its point of Gemara Malacha, and yet you can't eat it on Shabbos. Why not? Shabbos is a koveya. Even for fruit that has not arrived the point of Gemar Malacha.
What about that principle that if it's not edible, then it's muksa? That's the principle.
No, we point out in the beginning of the shir today that your point is very good. But Rashi said in the very beginning of this whole discussion, there are somewhat edible. If they're not, Rashi said then in the Mishnah. Because if they're not edible, then there's nothing to talk about. So the Gemara says, oh, that's so good. So that seems to be now a correct analysis of our Mishnah. But if that's a correct analysis of our Mishnah, so now the question on the table, is Shabbos a super koveya? Yeah. Shabbos is a super koveya, and by that we mean that it will be a koveya for fruit, even if the fruit has not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha. So the Gemara tries to deflect. Lo. Shani Hasim Kevendamra Mikanini Ochel Amacher Kavalei Ilavei. What the Gemara now is entertaining is, no, Shabbos is not the koveya. You know what the koveya is? His designation. He went up to his roof and he said, I'm going to eat this? That's a koveya. His verbal designation. So the Gemara says, what? Verbal designation? Well, if everything is coming down to his verbal designation, so then the Mishnah is really throwing us off on a wild goose chase by introducing Shabbos into the whole discussion. Meaning, if the verbal designation is a koveya, and oh, by the way, you know, we went through the Rambam earlier this morning, and the Rambam didn't mention verbal designation as being a koveya. Okay, but anyway, but we're learning the Gemara right now. And the Gemara is suggesting that maybe it's his verbal designation, which is a koveya. So the Gemara says, so why is the Mishnah mentioning Shabbos? Shabbos is not at all now becoming the issue. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you're right. Meaning, let's stick with our guns. Let's say that really the koveya is his verbal designation. Why mention Shabbos? Oh, because the Mishnah wants to tell us another point, which is, the tevel muchanu itzel Shabbos. The fact that it is tevel doesn't make it muksa. Meaning, the Gemara spells it out, shim avar v'tikna mistukan, which means that on Shabbos, I know I can't take off Shemas and Maestros, but if I do, violating an Isser de Rabbanon, so then it would result in I can eat the non-truma and non-meister portion of the produce. Okay, and this goes back to a point that we discussed just a short couple of days ago, meaning you could have made a very easy argument in going into Shabbos and it's Tevel, so it's Muktzah. And not only is it Muktzah Machmas Isser. I'm forbidden from taking off Trumas and Maisos. And you remember that Rashi? It was an exciting Rashi that we did earlier, where Rashi says that this principle of Muksa Machmas Isser is only, Rashi said it back on Lamed Alpha Amud Beis. That's only if it's an Isser de Oraisa, not an Isser de Rabbanan. If the only thing that's impeding me from gaining access to this is only an Isser de Rabbanan, so again, the Gemara is not condoning. The Mishnah is not condoning. But if you violate the Isser de Rabbanan, it's not, you can benefit from it, it's not muksa. Okay, so that's the that was Rashi earlier. Tosos, if you remember, we didn't go through the Tosos together, but Tosos argued on that point. But anyway, that's why our Mishnah mentioned Shabbos, just to make that point very clear that it's not Muksa. Okay, so what the Gemara is suggesting is the following right now. Our Gemara is asking the question, Shabbos is a Koveya that we know. Is Shabbos a super Koveya? Meaning that unlike Chatzar and your house, which is only going to be a Koveya for Gemar Malachtan, Peiros that experience Gemar Malachtan, what the Gemara now is entertaining is that Shabbos even more. Shabbos is going to be Koveya even for produce that has not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha. Our Mishnah seems to speak to that. And the Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, no, maybe no. Maybe our Mishnah that says that the fruit now is Kavua, only because of the verbal designation, not because of Shabbos. And why mention Shabbos? Just to tell us that Tevel on Shabbos is not Muksa. Okay.
What's the main answer? Because if he eats it, then for him it's Gemar Malacha. I mean, even though some people don't eat it,
right.
It would have been a simple thing.
I know. The Gemara, it's interesting. The Gemara does not even suggest for a moment that because you're eating it now, that's Gemar Malacha. I mean, Gemar Malacha is a process.
This would be because if it's not Gemar Malacha, then it comes back
Understood. Okay, top of Lamed Yamed Aleph, the Gemara. Now we continue with the Gemara. V'alom Mosra Chozer. The Gemara says, I don't know. This whole approach that we're suggesting right now, that really it's your verbal designation, which is the Koveya. The Gemara says, I don't think so. Look, the Gemara says, look at it from this perspective. Meaning, let's say that you're going to snack a little bit, and whatever you don't want to snack on, you put it back. So, what does that mean? That's a good indication that it's not kavua. Okay, let's do this by way of learning a Mishnah. So this is what's called mosro chozer. Any leftovers you're just going to put right back in. In other words, you're not going to bring home with you. That is a good indication that this is just a snack. And it's not kavua. V'shamin le Rabbi Elazar d'amar kol hecha demosra chozer lo kavah d'tnan. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, remember, this entire analysis is according to Rabbi Eliezer. We know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if there are leftovers and I put it back, that's a clear sign that it's not kavua. How do I know this? We learned Mishnah. The Mishnah reads as follows. I know it tells Eisem in Ama'atan, I take some olives from the vat. Meaning I go to the, right before they press the olives, so they put it in this big ma'atan. And I go to the matan, and I just take a couple of olives. Let's say I take five. Okay, good. I eat three of them. You know what? I'm good. Two left over. All right, I'll put it back. So tovel achas b'melech v'ochal. So if I put one at a time in salt and eat it, because remember they dipped in salt and they ate. That's the tibul, right? We try to mimic that in Pesach. So v'ochal v'im tabal v'nasan lefanav chayev. The word asara. And the Mishnah doesn't; it's not there. V'im tavav v'nasan l'fanav. But if you dip all of them and put them in front of you, so now they're chayev. In other words, dipping them in salt—that's a koveya. You remember the Rambam? That was one of the six. Dipping in the salt is one of the six. Rabbi Elazar Omer mina ma'atan tower, mina ma'atan tower chayev, mina ma'atan tame pater, mimneishu machzir esamoser. If the ma'atan in question is pure, so then you're going to be chayiv. If the ma'atan in question is tamei, so then you're going to be pater because you can return the leftovers. What does that mean? That's exactly the Gemara's next question. Understand. Ma'atan being tar means ma'atan being tamei. Who cares? What does that make a difference? So Rabbi Abao explains like this. In the Reisha, the ma'atan itself is tahor. The person who took it is tamei. The lomatse mahadarle, which means now that every olive that he takes is going to be tamei. And now what is he going to do? He's going to put the olives back, whatever olive he decides not to eat. He took five olives, he ate three. They can't put the two back, because now what he's going to be doing by putting the two back is he's going to be mitamei the rest. Now Rashi does point out, it's a little difficult to understand because when he took them to begin with, Right. Wasn't dimetame all the olives when he took? So Rashi says maybe not. Maybe he didn't touch the others. Maybe he only touched the olives that he took. Okay.
But the thing is, the olives become sheni, right? And it's not truma yet. So how could it become
Well, it's food, meaning food is subject to tumah.
But food can't be shuishi unless it's
understood. Understood. Let's not get too lost in this point. I agree with you, but let's just deal with the basic point that the Gemara wants to present to us, and that's the following. Again, it's an analysis of Rabbi Eliezer, and that is the Lamasi Mahadale Seifa B'Matan Tame V'Gavra Tame, and in the Seifa, the person's Tame, and so is the vat. The vat itself is Tame as well. The Lamasi Mahadale, where you can return it. And what do you see over here? What you see over here is that if it's returnable, it's not kavua. In other words, the person would have no inhibition of putting it back in the vat because he's tummy, the vat's tummy, and who cares? Meaning it's fine. I could just simply return it. So here's basically the Gemara's point, as Rashi explains it. Look, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you want to say that a verbal designation is a koveya? I'm going to speak now in strong language. That's ridiculous. It can't be. Because, look, he actually took 5 olives, and he only decided to eat 3. Now, taking 5 olives is much better than verbal designation. I took 5 olives, and I'm only eating 3, and I put 2 back. And those 2 back are not chayiv and shumas and maisos. So if physically taking something is not going to be a koveya, a verbal designation is for sure not going to be a koveya. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, can't you argue maybe that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the muksa is tahor, meaning those grapes and those figs that are drying out are tahor, the person himself is tameh, and when he takes it, it's non-returnable, and once it's non-returnable, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's a koveya. Can't you say that? The Gemara says, no, you really can't say that. Mukhzarim va'om dimhein. Meaning, no, they're already at the point where they've basically been deposited on the rooftop, and they're clearly meant to be kept on the rooftop. No, the Gemara says that's just not; it's really not a viable option. So, so basically, now what we're looking for is a question of Shabbos. Shabbos being a super koveya. So again, let me redo the thread of the Gemara. The question of the Gemara Shabbos is super koveya. Your house and your chatzer is a regular koveya, which means that it's a koveya for produce that has experienced Gemara Malacha. But if it has not experienced Gemara Malacha, not your house, not your chatzer is going to be a koveya. You can keep snacking from that produce. What about Shabbos? Is Shabbos a super koveya? So the Gemara says, well, our Mishnah seems to say that, because our Mishnah talks about a case where you go to your rooftop, grapes and figs that are drying, meaning they're in the middle of process, and meanwhile, our Mishnah talks about a Shemitah year, which means that if it's not a Shemitah year, you can't eat them on Shabbos. Why can't you eat them on Shabbos? The answer is Shabbos, because Shabbos is a koveya, even for produce that has not gone through Gemar Malacha. Wait, just give me a moment. And then the Gemara says, well, maybe no, maybe Rabbi Eliezer, remember the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, maybe Rabbi Eliezer is going to tell you that it's not Shabbos, which is really the Koveya, it's your verbal designation. It's the fact that you went up there and say, hey, I plan on eating this, to which the Gemara says, no, that's not going to work. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we know that once, if it's returnable, it's not going to be a Koveya. Verbal designation by itself is not going to be a Koveya. So right now, we're basically not stuck, but we're basically with only one approach in our Mishnah. What's the koveya in our Mishnah? Shabbos.
Why can't he argue because of the fact that the whole principle that there's no achilat arayin on Shabbat means that it could never qualify as an achilat arayin?
I understand, but
koveya or not?
I
the
hear
point of koveya is that it you know, once you say it's not koveya, then you could eat as achilat, but on Shabbat it doesn't apply. So it's like an oxymoron.
I do hear your point. In other words, the Shabbos itself, it's not that it's not Shabbos, it's a koveya, there's just no other eating on Shabbos.
There's no achilat arayin. So right. For you to eat, it has to be achilat
arayin. I do hear your point, okay, but I'm just presenting the Gemara the way the Gemara is presenting it, that whether Shabbos is a koveya to this degree. But I do understand you. So Elam Rashimi Barashi Revelazar Kamar Revelazar Tame Damar Chuma Kava Vikoshakin Shabbos. So the Gemara says, look, this is all an analysis of Rabbi Eliezer. Let's throw another point into the entire discussion, which is that according to Rabbi Lazar, Truma is a Koveya. Now again, we start off the morning by reading the Rambam, and we know this to be so. We know that Truma is a Koveya. But again, what the Gemara now wants to argue is that Shurim is a Koveya even pre-Gemar Malachan. Meaning, even while still in process, if somebody decides to take off Truma, so not only is the Truma, I'm sorry, not only did you take off Truma, but the rest of the produce cannot be eaten until you take off Maisers. And furthermore, even if all this happened before the Gemar Malacha. Let's learn another Mishnah together, the second parak of Masras. Peru Shetarman min ad shelo nigmar malachtan. If I take off Truma before Gemar Malacha. Now again, you did it too early, but that's not the point. You took off Truma, Rabbi Lazar, oser lechom emarai. Right, stay on that point. Rabbi Lazar says, that's it, you no longer can snack from it. No longer can snack from it? What do you mean? It hasn't even arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha. Truma is a koveya, according to Rabbi Lazar. And furthermore, truma is a koveya, even for even if it hasn't reached Gemar Malacha. Now, Chachamim Matir and the Chachamim say, no, it's fine. He keeps snacking. Why? Because again, like we said in the beginning of today's shiur, it's funny. Once you see the Rambam in the beginning, like if at least for me, it totally crystallized. All this now makes perfect sense. Meaning the Chachamim say he can keep snacking. Why? Because remember, the Koveyas only kick in only at the point of Gemar Malacha. We don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. But again, our analysis of the Gemara is all within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Shuma is a Koveya even before Gemar Malacha. So the Gemara says, fine, period. So so we asked the question, is Shabbos a super Koveya? Will it be Koveya even for pre-Gemar Malachtan? So the Gemara says, well, our Mishnah says so. So the Gemara says, leave the Mishnah out of the discussion. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that Truma is a Koveya, even for Peiros that have not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha. So if Truma is a Koveya, so is Shabbos going to be a Koveya as well. So the Gemara says, okay, you don't want to introduce Rabbi Lazar to this whole discussion? Fine. Let's move on. In our Mishnah, what's the next opinion in the Mishnah? The Chachamim. Tashma, Misefa v'Chachamim, Mar Memach, Yirsham, V'yomer Mikan Ad Kan. So, the Chachamim say, you go up to your rooftop, those figs are drying, those grapes are drying, you want to eat them on Shabbos? Rishima, make a sign, mark off, I'm going to eat from here to here. But again, what's the point of our Mishnah? It's a Shemitah year. And there's no Trumas Maisros. Now again, the analysis is going to be the same exact analysis. What if it were a Shemitah year? So, time Adarev Shabbos B'Shviyas, Dalav Bar Yisuri, Hu Abishar Shnei Shavua, Debenei Yisuri Ninu Asurim. It would be prohibited any one of the other 6 years. So, my time Alam Mishem to Shabbos Kava. And again, the reason must be, because Shabbos is a Koveya, even though it is not at the point of finished production. So the Gemara says, Shani Asim Kevin Da Amar Mikan Vatkan and Neochalamacher Kavalei. So again, the Gemara tries the same maneuvering. Well, maybe it's not Shabbos that's the Koveya, maybe it's the verbal designation. Yahachi Mayir Shabbos Afil Bechol Nami. And again, the Gemara says, okay, really the verbal designation? So why are we having a discussion of Shabbos? Shabbos is not the key issue. The key issue is a verbal designation. So the Gemara says, well, maybe, you're right, maybe the real issue is a verbal designation, and the only reason why the Mishnah here is discussing Shabbos is just to make that point that Tevel is not Moksa on Shabbos. Okay. Adkan, where do we stand right now? The question that has really guided us through the entire morning is that, is Shabbos going to be a koveya for produce, or I no longer can snack on the produce, even if Shabbos is happening before Gemar Malachan? And that's the question the Gemara is raising. The answer for Rabbi Eliezer is yes. But good, that's Rabbi Eliezer. And it sounds like from the Gemara that the answer for the Chachamim is also yes. That's what it sounds like. At least, again, it can be shown from our Mishnah, so, although the Gemara deflected. Urim Minhu. The Gemara says, I'm going to now ask you based on another Mishnah. Okay, first time this morning, we're quoting a Mishnah from Shrumos. The Mishnah reads, Ayyaocha be'eshkol v'nechnas megina l'chatzer. You're eating some grapes. Eshkol, Rashi points out, Eshkol, not finished yet. Not a finished product. Why? Because who cares about grapes? Wine. That's really what we're interested in. The grapes are just, you know, just a way to get to wine. So it's now, I'm eating from the grapes, so the grapes are not the gemar melachtan. They're going to be crushed and turned into wine. So, and I go into my chatzar. I go into my courtyard. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yigmor. Rabbi Lazar says, no, it's okay. You can finish them. Now, wait a second. Your chatzar is a koveya. Yeah. Yeah, only if the pears have undergone gemar melacha. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, lo Yigmor. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, don't finish it. You can't finish it. They got into the chatzar. Okay, that's difficult. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. Chashcha b'leila Shabbos. Now, you arrived at Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar Omar, Yigmor. What? Rabbi Lazar says, it's okay, you can finish the grapes. What are you talking about? Didn't we just spend the entire day today saying that according to Rabbi Lazar, Shabbos not only is a koveya, it's a super koveya, which means that according to Rabbi Lazar, Shabbos will be koveya even for produce that is not experienced gemar melacha. And this Mishnah in Truma has our head spinning. Because the Mishnah a lot of these Mishnahs do. But the Mishnah in Truma says that according to Rabbi Lazar, you're eating grapes and Shabbos comes. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Finish the grapes. What do you mean? Shabbos is a koveya. So Rabbi Yeshua Amar, lo yigmor. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, don't finish it. Okay. So that's the Mishnah in Trumos, and we're just left scratching our head. What's going on? How do we understand that Mishnah in Trumos? So the Gemara's explanation, Hasam kedektana taima. So the Gemara says, you have to read that Mishnah, but in conjunction with the following Tosefta. Rashi points out that a lot of people make a mistake and say that this next part is part of the Mishnah. Rashi says it's not true. You know, Rashi's meticulous about these things. It's not true. It's a Tosefta. But whenever you learn the Mishnah in Trumos, you know, which I'm sure happens regularly amongst us all, but when you're learning the Mishnah in Trumos, so you have to always attach this Tosefta afterwards, which is Rabbi Nasan Omer, Lo Kishamar, Rabbi Lazar, Yigmar Bechatzer, Yigmar, Ela Yotze Chutz Lechatzer, V'Yigmar. In other words, according to Rabbi Lazar, when he says, go ahead, finish it in the Chatzer, not actually in the Chatzer, take it out of the Chatzer and finish it, but not actually in the Chatzer itself. Maybe it's a Maris.
Bring it back to me, like
in other words, right, take it out of the Chatzer. Maybe it's a Maris Ein issue. But in other words, the Chatzer is not a Koveya because it's not finished. It doesn't have the Gemar Malachan. And we said from the very beginning of today, your Chatzer only will be a Koveya only for pairs with the Gemar Malacha. So the Chatzer did not finish the job. V'lo kishamar yigmar b'shabbos. I'm sorry. And as far as that, is that point regarding, you know, on Shabbos, the grapes, go ahead, keep snacking on the grapes. No. Yigmar ela mamtin lamotze Shabbos v'yigmar. On Shabbos itself, you can't eat a single grape. Trumas and Maisis haven't been taken off. And like Ben said earlier, there's no such thing as snacking on Shabbos. So you can't eat a single grape. But because the grapes weren't designated for Shabbos, the grapes themselves are not koveya. So in other words, after Shabbos is over, you can go back to snacking on those grapes. Okay, where do we stand on all this? Okay, that was a lot of discussion today, and admittedly, we went through it fast, and we learned a lot of Mishnayos and Maisos and one Mishnah and Trumos together, but hopefully, one thing that was communicated well, hopefully, is that the issue is whether or not Shabbos is not only but a koveya, but a super koveya. That's been our discussion. Can Shabbos be a koveya for produce that has not gone through Gemar Melachtan? The Gemara raises the issue, and we had an analysis today of Rabbi Eliezer, Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, a little analysis on the Shitas of Chachamim, and then the Gemara says, after all said and done, what's the halacha? So, ki asa Rav and Amrav Yochanan, Echad Shabbos, Ve'echad Truma, Ve'echad Chatzer, Ve'echad Mekach, we just hit four of the six koveyas. So when it comes to Shabbos, Truma, Chatzer, and Mekach, Kulan in Kovin, Ela Bedavar Shenigmara Malachtan. So when it comes to these four koveas, now why the Mishnah doesn't mention Shabbat. The other two koveas?
But this is Shabbat, no?
Yeah, Shabbos is here.
So according to this, Shabbat is not a super...
Shabbos is not a super koveya. Right. So the Rambam says it also, meaning that's the right. The Rambam's going to go with the conclusion.
The whole daf today.
I understood. I understand. Correct. Understood. So Shabbos is not going to be a super koveya. Neither is the other four. The two that are missing from the list over here, right, is salting and fire. Okay, salt and fire are not on the list. I don't know why, but anyway. But the four is not going to be a super koveya. They're all regular koveya, which means only after the point of Gemar Malachan do these events, or whatever you want to call them, do these events create a kvias? So, Shabbos lafugim medela detanya amamir peres memakam lamakam liksor v'kiddush alem ayom. If you gather fruit from one place to another, and then Shabbos kind of just pops out of nowhere. I'm Rav Yehuda Hillel la'atzmo oser. Hillel. Presumably we're talking about Hillel Hazakin. I mean, it is a brisa. So Hillel la'atzmo oser. Hillel says, Shabbos, you can't eat it. But la'atzmo, meaning, as Rashi explains, he's the only one who is oser. Meaning, and we don't hold like him. Why not? Because the fruit has not arrived at the point of Gemar Malacha. And because the fruit has not arrived at the Gemar Malacha, so therefore, Shabbos is not going to be Koveah. Chatzer, we're on the top of the next time. Chatzer, lafugim into Rav Yaakov, did not. Hamavir teinim b'chatzer, lakatzos banu v'nevesa ochle mehem arai, uptur mena maiser. If you bring figs into your chatzer, but again, they're not finished. I want to dry them out. There's more processing. Snack. Go ahead and keep snacking. In other words, your chatzir is not going to be kovea if it's not gemar malacha. Utini Allah, Rabbi Yaakov mechayv, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda poter. Rabbi Yaakov says that you're chayev. We don't hold like Rabbi Yaakov. Good. Next. Truma lafukim the Rabbi Eliezer denan. We saw this mission already today. Perish atam and nashal enigma malachim. Rabbi Lazar osa lechom mehemarai vechacham matirin. You take off truma before the gemar malacha. Is that a kovea? Rabbi Elazar says yes. We don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. We hold like the Chachamim. Okay? And finally, Mekach. Okay, I'm way over time. Let me stop at this point in time. I know I wanted to finish the Perek, because whatever, there's a Demai discussion coming up. Okay, I'll just give myself a couple more minutes tomorrow. Anyway, good. We talked today exclusively. Today really got into Truma Samaisos. Discussed the Koveya. The question on the table for today is really easy to summarize today's daf. Question on the table today is, Shabbos is going to be Koveah even for Peros that have not experienced Gemar Malachan. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Elazar, yes. We don't hold like Rabbi Elazar. The conclusion of the Gemara is that for the four Koveahs mentioned, and the Rambam says for the two others as well, it will only be a Koveah only after Gemar Malachan, which means practically that you can snack on this produce before the point of even after Gemar Malachan, but pre-Koveah.
There's no snacking on Shabbat.
Right, so, correct, which the Gemara noted, meaning that on Shabbos itself, you won't be able to eat it, but after Shabbos, you'll be able to eat it. Okay.